Hi, I'm Skating PJ, and this is Let's Talk About It, the Skate Ontario podcast, where we're going to get up close and personal with members of our skating family who have a connection to Ontario. So, let's talk about it. Hi, everybody. At Skating PJ here, and this is another episode of Let's Talk About It, the Skate Ontario podcast. Guess what? I am thrilled to be welcoming this man beside me, Emery Legere, who was, among other things, a coach, a former skater, just a genius, and also an archivist for Skate Canada formerly. So he's got stories and he's got all kinds of things we're going to talk about. We are focusing on Ontario, of course. Emery, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
This is amazing. Okay, we talked just for a couple of moments before turning on the old record, and you said that you had a chance to go through your result book. So talk to me a little bit about, and this was for Olympic Games, right?
Correct.
Okay, talk to me.
Okay, well, I went through my result book trying to see who from Ontario went to the Olympics. There's so many of them.
Yeah.
Who went to the Olympics? And then, of course, you have the medalists. We had a lot of medalists in Ontario, and also many people. I won't be able to list them all, but yep. I just tried to hit upon the stars. Well, they were all stars, but the highlights of certain athletes.
So going way back, who did you discover from way back?
1924, Melville Rogers and Cecil Smith started it all. And they went from there. And then after that, it became Montgomery Wilson and Constance Wilson. Then they were next to come in line. So they competed in singles. They also, some of them did singles and pairs. And they really started our whole Canadian history, but most of them trained in Ontario, as you know.
Well, what was the thing that drove people? I mean, the Olympic Games was very different at the time. It was outdoor rinks. So everything was taking place outdoors, which presents its own set of challenges. I mean, years ago, I spoke with Sheldon Galbraith, a famous coach, and he talked about his own skating career and skating outside. What can you imagine it must have been like to train in those days? I mean, you and I are both former coaches. What was it like to help train skaters to skate outside, do you think?
Well, I think that first of all, they also trained some of them inside, but the rinks are very cold. They weren't heated like they are today. And then you'd have to go skate. I remember skating outside when I was a kid on all the outdoor rinks to get more ice time. So, the ice wasn't great. There was snow over the ice. Sometimes it was very cold, windy. You would have to really dress well. And for sure would not be easy. And I remember stories that Barbara Ann Scott saying to me, well, Emery, I would look over the ice and pick out all the parts where, no, don't do a jump there because you're going to hit a rut or you're going to fall.
Yep.
So they tried to look at the ice to get the best ice they could skate on, do their free skate on. And it would have been a real challenge for sure to try to perform, but they did. And, had to do compulsory figures out there too on the ice in the cold. And you can imagine, and some days it was storming and they still went on with the show, and they would flood with, all the skaters would end up cleaning the ice with all the other rink people with scrapers. And it was a family workout for everybody so that they could skate and do their things.
You mentioned Barbara Ann Scott, 1948 Olympic champion, the only Canadian woman so far to have won an Olympic medal. One of only, I think, five, right? Two from Ontario, one from Montreal, and then two from Western Canada, talking about from West to East, Karen Magnuson, Caitlin Osmond.
Petra Burka. Petra.
Oh, good, six. Pardon me. Sorry, Petra. Petra Burka. So three from Ontario. Petra Burka, Barbara Ann Scott, and come on, Liz
Karen
Manley. What is her name?
Magnuson,
Karen Magnuson.
Elizabeth
Yaphet
Manley.
Kwoshet. It was really, it's quite wonderful. But let's go to Barbara Ann for a second. First of all, the number of girls who were born sort of early 1950s with the name Barbara in Canada, many of them people attribute to Barbara Ann Scott. She had a doll, among other things. Did you ever see that doll, Emery?
Yes, I once owned one of those dolls I had bought from a friend. It ended up at Skate Canada in their archives. I've seen several, yeah, they were quite unique, really. And they
Well,
came, with different dresses, colored dresses, and so on and so forth.
she captured the Canadian imagination in 1948, that is for sure. Let's talk about the fact that she has won more international titles, like, because she won European championships, which North Americans are no longer qualified to skate. She won the North American championships, she won the Canadian championships, the Olympic Games, and the World Championships. What does that say about skating and about Barbara Ann herself?
Well, see, she won five events that no one else has done, or there might be one. Dick Buttons, I think, did the same thing,
Yes. Yep.
but she won five events. In those days, in the 48, that was a big, quite a big accomplishment. And what can I say? She became, of course, Barbara is like the queen of the castle. She became her and Sonya Henie were the two big stars of skating all over the world. And I got to know Barbara quite well, and we chat all the time about her life and her career and things. And I think the only thing she never did was meet the Pope. She even had a private tour to see Queen Elizabeth's wedding gifts in
Oh, wow.
London. Yeah, in London. And she met everybody, you name it, she did it. I don't know if she went to the Oscars. Maybe didn't go to the Oscars and to visit the Pope, but that's about it. And
Everything else she did.
correct, correct. And she played the part really well, right? With
Oh.
all the clothing and the glamour and the jewels and so on and so forth. So she played it until her very last day, really, of her life. And she had a lot, so many great stories to tell, but and a nice person. When you got to know her, she was very pleasant, and I would like to talk about her life. I just wish she had written, she has several books on her life at the beginning, but I wish she had written a book at the end of her life, her and her
Yeah.
husband Tom. It would have been a great book to read, but Tom King was his name. And Barb and Tom would have had a great book, but that didn't happen. They didn't want to. Tom didn't want to give all his secrets away, he said.
Did you ever meet Mrs. Scott, Barbara Ann's mother?
No, I did not have the pleasure to meet Mrs. Scott. No.
Well, honestly, she was around, she was in Toronto, and when I was a little kid, I mean a little skater, she was often at the rink, and she would be watching the skating. And my mother told me that I had a conversation with Mrs. Scott. Again, I was a little wee kid, and I asked her, and my mother had taught me how to appropriately chat with older ladies, and I asked her if she had a daughter that was a skater. And she said, yes, my daughter did skate. And that's all she ever said. It wasn't until later that my mom said to me, you have no way to know this, but she was the mother of maybe the most famous skater, certainly at that time. So certainly humble. And Barbara Ann, having met her quite a few times, I would say that there wasn't a moment when somebody approached her that she didn't smile, that she was just so gracious. Any stories that you can think of, were there any surprising qualities, or did she pretty much meet your expectation as far as what a champion would be?
For sure. Well, she went beyond the call, because she never refused an autograph, and also She told me that her mother had told her that you reply and you send thank you cards to everybody who sends you anything. So Barb did that her whole life. She would always say, send a thank you or acknowledge she got received your letter. And people would write to her for photos and souvenirs, and she would mail them to them. And no, she really, really played. And Tom was a great manager. Her husband was her manager, so
Yes.
he managed her very, very well, and protected her too, like from everything. And so she was lucky that she had Tom as a manager, and that he could invest the money she made also for her later days. But yeah, it's and of course she had all her clothes designed, and but yes, a great lady for sure.
So tell me, as far as being an archivist is concerned, that's a very interesting profession. What sorts of things would make it into archives? Like, is it just results? Was it, as you said, the Barbara Ann Scott doll? But what sorts of things captured your interest and you thought would be interesting to generations that would follow?
Well, I think as an archivist, we're not supposed to keep a lot of things,
Okay.
1 or 2% of paper, but that's hard. At Skate Canada, we had six collections. Like we had the artwork, and then we had the costumes and the trophies and the film and the videos and artifacts. So we had a huge collection. And the interesting things are to find, like, here's a quick story. Montgomery Wilson he won Canadians one year. He won it more than once. Won a medal or won Canadians. He gave his medal to his girlfriend.
Okay.
One day I receive in the mail this medal with a note saying he had given this to my mother as a gift. As I was cleaning out her things, I found it. So I thought you should have it. So that's just one thing, right, that you receive. But there's all, I call them treasures, but there's a lot of treasures. A lot of people kept their things. A lot of people didn't. They throw them all out, and then they tell you after they threw them out, well, it's too late then. But it's really fun, getting a sort of like, how can I, another archivist came to me one day and said, Emery, I have three of Barbara Ann Scott's dresses. Do you want them? Well, of course I'll take them, but no money to buy them. And Barbara's mother had given them to a lady in Ontario, and then she gave them to her son, and we ended up with them. And they were three of her dresses that she competed in and did showbiz with. So it was fun to receive them, that's just an example of things we received, taller paintings, you name it, people. Want to have a home for a lot of neat things like medals and like, Don McPherson's world medal. And yeah, it goes on and on. But, there's most people keep their things, and then the family will keep some, and then you may get a few pieces. But it all depends.
So I'm kind of curious about medals because medals, have always been significant, obviously in competition, but have you noticed a trend towards, more ornate back in the day, less ornate now? Are there any medals that sort of stand out for you from competitions?
Of course, of course. If you go way back when, you dealt with silver, gold, and bronze, the real McCoy. The trophies were sterling silver, way back, let's say early, late 1800s, early 1900s. Like Don McPherson's world trophy is sterling. His medal is real gold. We used to give out at Skate Canada way back when bronze, silver, and gold for winning nationals. They were real medals or precious medals. And then magnificent the Governor Generals used to give out trophies, and they were bronze statues. So we went from bronze to gold to sterling, then to silver plate, then to wood, plastic, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, most metals now are probably just plastic or some sort of metal. But yes, the metals were are and were very valuable.
So Ontario has such a legacy of figure skaters at the elite level, champions and also competitors. What do you think about where is the connection from sport to the audience? Like why skating? Why are people interested?
Well, it's funny. I was talking about that the other day. It's a sport. It's an art also, because you have to be an athlete and you have to be also a dancer, an artist, so on and so forth. I think people enjoy just being entertained. The music has a lot to do with it. You have to select the right music for yourself. Costuming is important. But skating has changed with the new judging system. It's harder to be really creative because you have to do certain elements and spins, and everybody kind of ends up looking the same
I
when
agree.
you go to an event. Like, you know what they're going to do next. Because you need to have points, right? You need to accumulate points. So everybody's trying to figure out what will give me the most points, footwork, spins, jumps, la la. Right now, well, if you look at it's really jump, jump, jump. We're into quads, we're into quad axles. Even the women, are starting to do quads, which is all great. But and then you got to do so much stuff in between every jump and spin. You're really busy. Like, it's incredible what they can do in their performances, because there's never just a crosscut. Most of the times it's just from one thing, and you need speed, of course. You got to do this fast. So, but going back to the audience, I think that. We always, I think the audience that we attracted are much older now, or the where we have to get the younger generation into the rinks. And I think this is why they use a lot of modern music and so on and so forth, hoping to interest the young people to come and watch an event. So hopefully it's going to work. Synchro is fun to watch. And they have a lot of great music and costuming. So we'll see. Of course, everything is more and more expensive. Ticket prices are expensive now to go to an event. So people now, like they do in the rock world, they're picking what concerts they're going to go to. Well, they're going to pick what event they're going to go to. Do they do figure skating? Do they do baseball? Do they women's hockey? Do they do
Lots of choice.
lots of choice for sure.
And
So
I
go
was going to
ahead.
say, I think it's also interesting that in these days of social media, there's also more accessibility. So back in Barbara Ann's day, if she was in, was she in Ice Capades or Ice Follies or one of those?
Yeah, Barbara Ann did, she had her own shows, plus she also was a guest star with Ice Capades. And the show she told me she liked the most was when she did Rose Marie on Ice. She
Oh,
was the star of that show,
okay.
and that was her favorite. And then, yeah, she guest skated a lot of places, but she skated in New York. I think it was at the Roxy, between movies.
Oh, wow.
She did all kinds of neat things. But shows, yes, Ice Capades, but not, she filled in for some of the people in Ice Capades that would be sick or so on and so forth. So she did a lot of showbiz, but that wasn't her thing. She might have done it, I think, for 5 years, and then I think she liked being a housewife, and she probably would like to have had children, but she didn't. And she had horses instead.
Yep.
So, yes, so.
But I think what I was going to say was that the fact that way back when in 1948, 1952, whenever you want to say, without social media, if you wanted to see Barbara Ann Scott skate, you had to go see her live. Like, there wasn't even really television performances like there are now. Now, with social media across all sports, if you want to see a replay of Kurt Browning's pick a performance, you're going to be able to access it likely on YouTube. So I think that the desire or the drive to go see somebody live isn't the same as it once was. And I think it will still take us some time to figure out, well, how exactly can we balance those two things? Because the accessibility is far greater now. You can see anybody anytime. You're having a sleepless night. You just go to YouTube and you can watch your favorite figure skating performances. So it kind of brings me to the other sort of the unsung heroes. And you might have a lot to say about this as a former coach. Tell me about the coaches of Ontario. Like, who are the ones, we have so many who have produced such amazing results. Do we really acknowledge the coaches enough? As an archivist, were you involved in the coaches' stories at all? Just curious.
Yes. Where we got involved with the coaches is when someone nominated them to be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So then people would send in their nominations and would give us their coaching career. And also, if you can still do that, if anybody's listening and they want to nominate somebody, they just have to go on the Skate Canada website and nominate the, whether it's an athlete, a coach, a builder.
Yep.
You just do it online, and they're always looking for new nominations, but you got to nominate them. If you want them in the hall, somebody's got to nominate them.
Yes.
And then coaches, at one time, maybe if you had a world champion, you were an automatic in the Hall of Fame. Well, now they want to see all of your work, not
Okay.
just the one skater. Okay, so he had one world medalist. But what else did he do or she do in the world of skating? So they look at the whole picture. Yes, you get to learn a lot about coaches when you, and each section now has a Hall of Fame and they're honoring their people. And that's great because that didn't happen at one time. So
Right.
there's every section's trying to have their own archives, their own Hall of Fame, which is wonderful. Some get nominated provincially. Some of them aren't strong enough maybe to get into Canada Sports Hall of Fame or Skate Canada, but they're strong enough to be in their provincial Hall of Fame.
Yep.
So some people just think, oh, well, they're going to get in automatically. No, it's all voted on. It's not who you know. It's they look at every
Body of
person in.
work.
Yes, body of
Body
work.
of
That
work.
was the word I was
Yep.
looking for.
Yep.
And they look at everybody individually, and then people vote on it, short list, long list, and then eventually, there's so many people
Yeah,
that
for sure.
are waiting to be nominated or would like to be nominated, but they can only do so much at one time.
So when we talk about Ontario, and I think about some of the legendary sort of Ontario champions and coaches, so where were you in 1988 when Liz Manley with the hat at the end? Were you watching? I was.
Of course I was, because the week before that, I think Brian had won silver,
Yep.
and so I was upset about that. And then the night that Liz skated, honest to God, if she, thank God that happened, because I was ready to throw the TV out in the snowbank, right? So she just made my day, my week. And then of course Wilson and McCall were third.
Yep.
But it was great to see Liz do that. And really, Liz is the winner, I would
Yeah.
say. She won the free, but she should have been the overall winner.
Yep, I
But
think so too. I
yeah,
think
it's.
that performance was magical, and it's wonderful to be able to sit in front of the television and say, wow, history just got made here. Now, what
Yes.
about Pete Traberka?
Well, Petra,
And Haller.
I got to know Petra a bit. I know her sister and her mom a bit also. But Petra was another great skater. And of course, she won medals at Worlds and Olympics. And
1964.
correct. And, worked for Skate Canada for a long time, was a coach, was in Holiday on Ice in Europe for a long time. Petra was another great skater, but I find with some of our skaters, like sometimes they just get lost a little bit in the shuffle. Don McPherson's one of those, you know. Don Jackson wins first triple Lutz, then Donnie's the year after, and then you kind of Don McPherson, you kind of you know they kind of get lost a little bit. And with Petra, another great skater, and she could have had more recognition. I know she had a lot, but she can't be forgotten. Another one too, Karen Magnuson's another one you can't forget. And there's so many.
Taylor Cranston. Tell me thoughts about him.
Taylor is in a world of his own, and he demanded the attention and the being a star, and he got it. And of course, he got men's figure skating to be more fluid than military, and of course, very creative and had his own shows and TV specials, and he can paint. Great artist, painter, and a taller. Well, how can you forget someone by the name of Taller, and how can you forget someone by the name of Elvis?
My next question. Elvis was something special. I mean, as fluid as you say, and as artistic as Taylor was, I think that Elvis really put jumps on the map.
Correct. Elvis, okay. Taller was like he was very artistic and very fluid, where Elvis was your technician. And that's the difference. And then you had Kurt that slides in between the two of them that has a little bit of the yard and a little bit of the jump. So he's an actor on ice. So you put those three together, and it's and then we can't forget Ron Shaver. Ron Shaver was another great skater. And he too kind of, Taller stole the stage where Ronnie was behind him, like McPherson was behind Don. And then, of course, you went what? Kurt, forgetting somebody. Kurt, Elvis.
Brian Orser.
Oh yeah, Brian Orser. And it just goes on. And then Patrick Chan, and we just keep going with a lot of great male skaters. Jeffrey Buttle. There's so many good skaters. I'm probably forgetting great people.
We won't
As
be
we're talking.
forgiven because we don't have our notes with us, but that part's good. Another one I want to talk about a couple of people. Debbie Wilkes and Guy Ravel, of course. How did you guys deal with it in the archive? Because originally they were bronze medalists at the Olympics and then elevated to silver because of a bit of a scandal with the German pair ahead of them, who, by the way, in today's standards, it wasn't a scandal. But in those days, can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the sad thing about all that, I'm glad that Debbie and Guy got their silver medal, and the Americans that were fourth came to third, but they still kept the Germans there with Debbie and Guy. They still have their medal. So they didn't dethrone them. They did like what they just did with the pairs event at Olympics there, But anyway, they didn't dethrone them. They were second. So you had 2 seconds, like Salle and Peltier, two firsts. And then third, the Americans jumped up to third. The sad thing is, great that they did this and it all happened, but you got to remember that every book ever published before that, they were down as third place.
I
So
know.
now, most of those books, they have them down as third. Yes, they've been able to correct some of it, but that's the sad thing about it, is that you go down in history as a third, but you're really a second. But it's great that they gave them a second place medal. And Debbie's had a great career,
Yeah,
and
for sure.
so we just keep going.
A couple of women's names I want to throw out at you from different generations, but all important, I think. Lynn Nightingale, Tracy
Yes.
Wayman, and Karen Preston.
Yes.
What
Yes.
all
Go ahead.
champions?
Right. I was just going to say Lynn Nightingale, very talented skater. Well, all of them you named. I'm just looking at my notes quickly. We can't forget also Barbie Underhill and Paul Martini, but there's so many that we can't forget. But and then we mentioned Elizabeth Manley, which is great not to forget some of them, but there's so many of them.
Do you
Sandra
know
and
what's
Val Bezzek, you know.
well they Sandra and Val Bezzek for sure, Barb Underhill and Paul Martini. Of course, Sandra ended up choreographing
Yes.
and working with Underhill and Martini to their world title.
Correct.
What I want to also mention is Lorna Whiten and John Dowding, who were ice dancers and Olympians, and they were ice dancers back in sort of like 1980 or maybe 84, I'm not sure, even 76 possibly. But what was interesting about them is they did a free dance, the very first one that was entirely under one theme. That was a very novel concept at
Right.
that time, under the amazing tutelage of Coach Mary Jane Stong,
Right.
who, along with husband Louis Stong, lots of stuff. But that was, I think, the Black Swan. And it was a program that was entirely to one piece of music, one theme that hadn't been done before. So many firsts have come out of Ontario. Are there any that sort of jump to your mind?
Well, that's one of them. Just a sec. That one. No, I think what's her name? Gabby Dalman. She's another great female skater.
Yep, and world medalist.
Right. And then of course Tessen Scott and Po Jane Weaver, and it just goes on and on, right?
The ice dance has been certainly, and Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier
Yes,
currently.
correct.
And Patrick Chan has certainly left a mark in men's figure skating, I think. Without Patrick Chan, well, Patrick Chan said to me, without Taller Cranston, there wouldn't be a Patrick Chan. And I think that without Patrick Chan, he made the competition really good. When you think of some of the men that came along at the same time, Yuzuru Hanyu among them, I think it was that amazing blend of outstanding technical ability and artistry that really defined, has defined the sport of late.
And another one that became quite an artist and who still is Gary Beacom.
Oh, yeah, such an unusual character in skating. I mean, as far as creativity, almost to the point of eccentricity. And he's very much involved with the world figure skating, they skate figures
Right.
movement, which is just fascinating.
No, for sure. I feel bad. I hope we didn't forget anybody.
I'm sure we didn't. I'd
We
like
try not to.
We certainly did. But when I think back to my former coach, Wally Distelmeyer, and
Yes.
his partner, Susie Morrow, Suzanne
Correct.
Morrow Francis, Susie Francis,
Right.
and then we're forgetting Nori Bowden and oh, come
Francis
on.
Defoe.
Thank you very much.
And for God's sakes, we can't forget Barb Wagner and Bob Ball.
Yes,
We can't
I
forget
mean,
them.
and the
And
Jelineks.
the Jelineks, right? Oh my God, there's so many of them.
We need
And
another half hour to talk about all of the history of figure skating. If there was something that you wanted to say to people about the memories that they're able to create in skating, what do you think is the importance of that?
I think what's important, if people have the time, they should write it down in a journal. People should journal, especially special things they saw in skating or witnessed. Put it down in a journal. You don't have to write a book. It'd be great if you could write a book, because some people would have fabulous stories, but journal it and then give it to somebody, and then you can always send it to Skate Canada Archives or their provincial archives, so this history is not forgotten. you
It
know?
is so important. Absolutely. Okay, last question. I always talk about the playlist in my mind. Three, you've got a gazillion, but give me three performances that you like enjoying again and again.
Oh my God, that's a real tough one. Well, I was always a big fan of Peggy Fleming. I think I had a crush on Peggy Fleming. who else? Just is
Olympic
that
champion and American champion, if people don't know, and
right?
beautiful.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Janet Lynn, of course. Do
Yes.
you want Canadian performance
Can
or
be anybody you want.
Janet Lynn's
The
Afternoon of the
Fonz. Yeah.
Yes. For sure, that's one. Oh my God, you've hit a really hard one there. There's so many, but there are some that, oh boys, I gotta think. Probably the ones that are very, I like classical music, so probably someone who I can't think. Barbie and Paul, I like their long program when they won Worlds.
Yeah, me too.
It was really well done. I was there. I saw it live in Ottawa. Thorvald and Dean, Bolero,
Yep, that's a
for
good one.
sure. Bolero. And I used to like the Protopopovs.
Yes. Oh, who didn't?
Yes. So they did some really nice classical, but I'd have to say that's a real tough one, PJ, because I'd have to think about that one longer.
We will get a chance to do a chapter two one of these days for sure. In the meantime, Emery Legere, thank you so much for joining me. This has been fantastic. And
Well,
everybody else out there, thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Let's Talk About It. We'll see you again. Thanks,
yeah.
Emery.
Take care. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Let's Talk About It, the Skate Ontario podcast. Don't forget to follow us on social media. I'm at Skating PJ. Until next time, bye for now.